You're listening to Make It Thrive, the company culture podcast. I'm your host, Lizzie Benton, culture coach and founder of Liberty Mind, and I want to inspire people to change the way we think about work so our human potential can thrive. In this podcast, I speak to experts, thought leaders, founders, and curious explorers, all dedicated to shifting the world of work. Together, we can make it thrive. Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Make It Thrive, the company culture podcast. What are you enjoying so far about season 12? That's what I really want to know. What's stuck with you? I'm intrigued because we all take away different things depending on what we need. So do let me know. Reach out either on LinkedIn or drop me an email because I love knowing what people are actioning or experimenting with. I get the joy of these conversations firsthand, so I know what always resonates with me or what sticks with me after a conversation. But I know that we all come at these conversations with different needs or different ideas and different viewpoints to the world. So it's always really interesting for me to discover what others are taking away from these conversations. Today, I am joined by Angelique Slob, a former HR executive and an organizational sociologist who now dedicates her work on new ways of working and shaping the leaders of the future. I was actually recommended to speak to Angelique by my good friend and peer, Kirsten Buck, who I chatted with in the last season. Angelique had done a session for the PTHR team as part of their summer school initiative on abundance mindset. And Kirsten said to me that her approach had had such an influence on their thinking and that Angelique might be a perfect guest for the podcast, which I'm hoping you'll all agree with me. In this conversation, Angelique and I chat about the mindsets that are present in our cultures and how that influences our thinking and our behaviors, in particular, abundance mindset. I don't want to spoil any of the wisdom that Angelique shares, so let's get right into it. Hi, Angelique, and welcome to Make It Thrive.
Hi, Lizzie. Thank you.
I'm so excited to have you on the podcast because I was recommended to have a chat with you on this episode all around abundance mindset. And being as we are making the intangible more tangible, I thought, what a brilliant topic to bring to light on the podcast. So to kick us off, do you want to kind of give us a bit of a definition of what abundance mindset is and how you would describe it to people, just to give us some context?
Yes, so I'm using when it comes to abundance mindset, I think it's first quoted by Stephen Covey in The 7 Habits of Most Effective People. And it's actually the people that have a scarcity mindset, then it seems like life is a finite pie. So there is not enough for everybody. If I get a bigger piece of the pie, there is less for you. And that's kind of almost the default mindset that a lot of people have. But an abundance mindset, if that says that there is plenty out there for everybody. And Stephen Covey, especially, is writing that book towards individuals, right? And I've created that, I took that concept and I put it into the organizational collective thinking. So if people as a collective adapt to an abundance mindset, then I think you can create a totally different organization.
Yeah, oh my goodness, completely. Because like you say, when we have that collective mindset, it influences so much of our habits and our behaviors. And so many organizations are in this scarcity mindset of kind of win and lose and competitiveness, and all of it kind of manifests in all of those different ways. But I'm really intrigued, Angelique, because I would love to know, what was your journey into kind of realizing the importance of abundance mindset within an organization?
Yeah, I think it just came about through my work. So I've been working with leadership teams in the area of new ways of working, the future of work, helping them transform their workplaces into more human-centric, future-proof workplaces. And sometimes you are working with teams and the process stucks. So it gets stuck in the process And an example where it was really, really clear for me was when I was working with a leadership team to implement unlimited vacation policy. And they were quite open and it was all okay. But when we were working on the details, then suddenly they kind of like the whole process blocked and the people got stuck. And they were like, yeah, but what about this and what about that? And, you know, maybe people are going to be thinking that we take something away from them because now we have a maximum of 25 holidays, but we're moving to 20, but as a minimum. People were used to take those 5 days because they value money, a holiday. And I'm from the Netherlands, this was with a Dutch company, and you can take those, you can save 5 holidays and bring them over to the next year. So they are a monetary value as well. So they were scared. They were like, yeah, people will think that they take something away from them. And I don't know how I'm going to work with that in the budget because it was a consultancy firm. And the whole process stopped. And they were like, okay, maybe we shouldn't go ahead because it's getting too complicated. And I kind of leaned back and I said, well, if you imagine an apple tree where you pick the apples in autumn, and would you really want to hold on to those apples and, you know, for the next year, well, you know, there is an abundance of new apples every day, you know, there's an infinite amount of new apples that you can just pick whatever you want. And at that moment, it was almost magical because you could feel the people, you could feel them literally expanding in their thinking and their behavior and the energy change. And they're kind of like, yeah, you're right. And we wanted to do this and we know it's the right thing to do. So I worked kind of the finer details out with them, and they still have that policy, of course. So, and it worked really, really well. But it was making the intangible tangible, as it's like this series. It was intangible, but it became almost tangible when I was working with them because I could almost pinpoint it out or feel it. And I've been thinking about it ever since. And there's different examples that in my consulting, based on intuition, I've asked some kind of questions, or I've pointed out some things, or came out with storytelling to bring people into the next stage of their thinking. And this is a couple of years ago, it's been in the back of my mind. And at one point, I kind of connected that. I was like, that was the shift from scarcity to collective thinking. It was a collective shift. It was the whole team that made that shift, and it changed everything. So that became in my mind, and then I started to experiment with this idea, the concept, as the abundance mindset in organizations. And I've run this with a couple of groups, very forward-thinking people, both for my Hello Monday Club audience, that is a lot of forward-thinking people leaders, very interested in new ways of working, all the concepts that we talk a lot about. And yeah, they were very positive, and people said, literally, this is like the most important professional growth topic that I've experienced this year. So, yeah, and I think it's probably very hard. It's difficult, but it's also very important. And what I've been in, so I've developed this kind of workshop or session around it, and I'm making it more tangible, actually, as tangible as I can make it. So it's still very inspirational and conceptual, but at the same time, people get like real takeaways, so they can start using it and they can start building this self-awareness and understanding where the scarcity mindset might creep in their day-to-day meetings or decision-making processes.
Oh my goodness. I just kind of even watching you talk about this, I can see how much energy this is bringing into your work. And just like you say, that kind of felt sense, that felt shift within a collective group is incredible. And it's really interesting how you've started to experiment with this as well, because I think so much of the kind of mindset work, we talk about it a lot, but it's actually trying to put that into the context of you know, like situations like you've explained there, where people can really understand how they're getting caught up in that scarcity mindset. And once they have that awareness, they then start to see it in other processes or other ways that they're showing up in the workplace. But it's not until we've had that kind of aha moment that we can really kind of name it and start to see how it manifests.
Yes, exactly. And it's like I got aware, like self-awareness, because it's so easy to caught up also in like a general narrative. So while I was working on that concept and I was, you know, putting it out there, at the same time, even on the same day, I could have a conversation with someone and say, well, you know, with the war on talent going on and it's very difficult. And I was like thinking, oh, this is scarcity mindset, the war on talent. If I would have an abundance mindset around, you know, attracting talents and giving an employee experience, I wouldn't, like, by default say that there is like a scarcity out there, because there isn't. Actually, if you think about it, there isn't.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's one of the difficulties, right, that I had a really good question from someone when I was talking about this abundance mindset. And someone said, it is like a mental model. So what we're trying to do is kind of shift our viewpoint from that seeing scarcity everywhere. And it is very difficult because we also have that collective narrative in our wider culture as well, sort of in, like you've said, like in our society or where we might live, or, you know, we're getting told these kind of scarcity messages all the time. So it's really difficult to kind of, you know, consciously continue to shift your mental model. But what would you say to kind of managers who not only need to, you know, shift their awareness of abundance, but also when resources might be limited in their reality? So maybe, you know, the budget is a bit short or things like that. How can we kind of help to shift those people? Have you got any recommendations for people that are maybe feeling like that, you know, resources are limited in some way?
Yeah, I think it's to stick with like scarcity and talents, maybe, you know, just keep on using that example. I think if you would make that mental shift and think, well, maybe there isn't, you go from this like problem mindset into solution mindset. So I also thought, like when I was working on that concept, I think from scarcity to abundance, that is actually the umbrella of going from problem to a solution, going from a closed mind to open, to growth mindset, go from time and present organizational thinking to flexibility and all those kind of new ways of all these other mental shifts can happen if you put that first umbrella. So for example, I think people, if you would say, well, maybe there isn't a scarcity, maybe there is a scarcity here in the city of London, the people that live close enough and for the salaries that we can pay. But what if we offer more remote possibilities? And what if we would even move to hire people from different countries? What if we would expand our freelance population to use those kind of resources? So what if we would be open up for part-time? So it's like, and if you start to question the scarcity thoughts or the narrative or the conviction that you have, like the belief system, then you start to understand that there are a lot of other solutions. And it's one of the things that obviously it's self-awareness, but it's also being able to question people around you.
Oh my goodness, yes. It's very, like you say, there's that large self-awareness piece in it, but then there's also kind of really being able to challenge the status quo of that collective mindset as well, and actually thinking, how can we problem solve around this? Like you've said, you know, actually, when we put that lens of abundance on things, we can start to problem solve far easier than when we're in the very kind of, it's almost like scarcity mindset closes down that problem solving capacity for us, would you say?
Exactly. Yeah, and I think a good way to work with this is, first I think we have to understand that the scarcity mindset is very embedded also in industrial thinking. So we talk about HR, human resources. And resources like physical resources, as in time, as in people, as in, you know, exchanging money for labor and for time, that is in a factory that has like limited capacity, there is a lot of scarcity there. So you run out of those kind of resources like sooner or later. While we are now, we have moved to a very different reality of work. We are now in the age of technology, of knowledge workers. We're entering the age of AI, and I don't know how much time you saved this week, last week, but I saved a lot of time by just starting to use more and more AI in my daily work. So we work with what is important for organizations today are ideas, innovation, knowledge, creativity, collaboration. And all those things, they are infinite. There is no limit to the creativity of ideas that we can use, and especially if we connect it to artificial intelligence here. Yeah. So we have to understand that we already made that shift. And I've done an exercise with the participants of those workshops before, where I've asked them, to list some things that are scarce, that bring them like in the scarcity mindset. And then you can think about the things that give you more the abundance mindset. And you can make it very personal, thinking about what else is like infinite, like joy, laughter, love, cuddling your children. There's a lot of things that are, we experience that are in that abundance mindset. And if you just feel the difference when you think about those things or how you think about it, you can already feel in your own personal, just in your body, because your body gives you a lot of information if you learn to tune into that. You can know when you're in the right mindset to make certain decisions maybe. And I think it's quite interesting that the abundance mindset is more expansive. Mm-hmm. So you feel yourself opening up and growing. Well, everything that you think that comes from a scarcity mindset is closing you down and maybe even make you feel like literally like your throat is being squeezed, or you feel like tightness in your chest or a stomach ache. Your body gives you a lot of information that also indicates that what mindset you are in.
Oh my goodness, that's just so fascinating. And I can so relate to that as well, because even when you were talking about that, I think I could feel when you were talking about certain things, I could feel it in my heart and the way like my body was shifting to what some of the things that you were saying. And it's funny actually, because abundance is I always pick a word of the year. And my word this year is abundance. And it was so interesting because even like you explained in that, that exercise that you do, when I was talking to my coach about abundance, it's so interesting how we forget about the things that we already have that are abundant. So our energy and, like you've mentioned those things. And it's so easy when we kind of label, we kind of only think abundance is available to us in a certain element or in certain ways. But actually, when we start to really explore, okay, where do we feel abundance? And if I was to take this thing away, like take away your energy, would you still feel abundant? I was like, oh no, actually I wouldn't feel abundant, because energy is also part of abundance. And yeah, just even getting in tune, I mean, that exercise must be so powerful when you do that, Angelique, with groups.
Yeah, and I think you can bring that into your day-to-day meeting culture, or like if you have a one-on-one with a person. And especially in organizations, I put like two organizational models next to this idea. And you might be familiar with them. One of them, they're quite similar. These are tribal leadership. And the other one is the Thiel organization. Both of those models use like five stages of organizational development. And that starts from like a very toxic culture that could be even like compared to prison or gangs, towards a highly innovative collective abundance model. They call it different. They are like there are five stages, and normally I show the models, of course, on screen. But tribal leadership shows that 80% of the organizations is in the third state, and they call that personal domination, where knowledge is power, so people hoard it. They have to win, and winning is personal. The mood is one of wanting help and support, yet being continually disappointed that others don't have the ambition or skill. And that same state, or like comparing states that is to be compared, in teal is the orange. They use colors. It's orange. They call it machine. And the goal is to beat the competition, make a profit and grow, management through goals. KPIs, usually short-term thinking. And they say that happens often in multinational conversations, private schools, investment banks. The models have a different, little bit of a different angle. But still, they have some comparison. And I think most of us can totally relate to this kind of organizations. Because to be honest, if we are like, you know, running up for a promotion and you are my competitor because there's only one position and we are two people, and there if there is a bonus that is limited and we all need to meet our goals, that is very much internal competition based into a scarcity mindset. Now, both of those companies in those models, well, people start to go to the next phases, 4 and 5, you can see that they started to touch into more abundance thinking. So they have in the tribal leadership place, it's more about we are great. People are fully themselves and everybody seems happy, inspired and genuine. The culture emphasizes shared core values and interdependent strategies. We are great tribe always has an adversary, and the bigger the foe, the more powerful the tribe. If you go even like in tribal leadership to the stage 5, it literally says that the language revolves around infinite potential and how the group is growing, is going to make history. And you can see that that is, of course, like very much an abundance mindset. Those organizations, it's only like, you know, stage 5 in tribal leadership, this is very rare. Stage 4, that could be almost like 10 to 20% of the organizations in the world, and they, you would see if you have like a very purpose-driven organization or B Corp, expect that you can say that they are in stage 4. So it is literally, if you talk about the future of work, bringing organizations from that stage 3 to stage 4, the key to that is the abundance mindset, adapting to it, or learning how to adapt it, and creating this kind of, maybe even build it in your culture, where you can use another technique that's reframing, where you literally say the opposite that you believe and make it as exaggerated as possible, even that, to the point that it starts to sound ridiculous. But even then, that will help you, because even like, maybe, I don't know the psychology behind it, but maybe you're even tricking your mind or something. So that will also be able to help. So especially if you're a leader in a team or your coach or you're working with people, and maybe an HR department could also be a very good start, saying things like, oh, is that really true? Or how can we just, you know, say the opposite of what the conclusion is for, you know, we don't have a solution because, well, yeah, just take that final statement and start playing with it. And see if you can open up some new ways of thinking about it.
Definitely. Yeah. I feel like this is a really important part of that kind of evolution that you've mentioned there, Angelique, because it's almost sometimes feels a bit like a chicken and egg kind of situation. Like, what comes first, the mindset or changing the system? And I think sometimes it is around the mindset, because until we can, I know a number of people speak about this in our sort of realm of working that we kind of work within, that actually the mindset helps us shift the system to what we need it to be, because without kind of changing that viewpoint, we can't see a different systems available to us, you know, because we're so clouded by that scarcity mindset and so limited by the thinking of what's available, that when we can't see a difference, we can't see a potential shift or a potential change in how things could be, how things could be more collaborative. So it isn't until we kind of put on those lenses of abundance and really change our thinking that we then start to be able to evolve to those stages, would you say?
Exactly. I always say the mindset comes first. So if you want to change something, you need to think differently. If you want to do things differently, you have to think differently before. Mindset comes first. And I think if you look around organization, like your day-to-day, there is so much decision-making going on. And decision-making is based on, like, of course, the context, but also very much influenced by the way that people think. So those underlying belief systems are very, very strong and persistent and decisive, and they shape workplace culture. And like, since most people are expecting this is how work works, like this is how an organization works, this is how the culture is in every corporate organization, and this is, like, you know, I've seen it over and over in my 5, 6, 7 career moves, then you think it is the reality. It's only when you just maybe, you know, are lucky enough to find this kind of workplace that hasn't been in stage 4 that you understand that it's possible. And if you then know it's possible, of course, then you move forward, and then you become also this person that maybe can help others to move to a different way of thinking.
Yeah. I would love to hear some more examples, Anjali, because I know you've given us a few already of where you've seen this real tangible shift happen. Have you got any other examples that you'd be happy to share with us to kind of help us see this even more, this more tangibility of when you've unlocked this abundance within a group and what's manifested?
Yeah, so I've worked with this more, like, with people, like, either in the field. So we have been more working on how can we help others, you know, to bring this abundant mindset. But more on the individual level, from the participants of the workshops, I have seen this, you know, people saying, well, it's been helping me, because when I did last year, I was in, like, you know, maybe on the peak of the cost of living crisis in winter. And somebody said, well, I know that I'm very stuck in the scarcity mindset, well, you know, thinking about worrying about my heating and how to pay as a single mom. But her being a single mom, I brought it to the mindset where I was like, you know, think about cuddling your child and, you know, the infinite love that there is. And it kind of, like, made on that individual level definitely the shift for them to say, well, you know, I could feel a different person, and at least, you know, a lot of this kind of concerns and worries I've been able to leave behind. Where it gets interesting, though, is if you would be working with a full organization or a full team. With, for me, it's been more like on this kind of, like, particular little things that, you know, that showed up where you can feel that you were stuck. Yeah, it happened before also in different examples in my HR career, but I haven't been as clear as to use as an example. And also, I didn't recognize them as such. So I think that the teams that I've been working with, that they bring it into their thinking. But they are, for example, they're already B Corp. So, you know, they're kind of, like, adapted, but then it's very difficult to see, oh, there has been this and this result.
It's so interesting, isn't it? Because I think as well, when we start to have that individual shift as well, it does have a ripple effect on those around us. And, you know, when we often, you know, do the work on ourselves and start working on our own mindsets and our own habits and our own behaviors, it naturally has this really positive ripple effect that happens. And even if we can kind of stimulate more of that within an organization, of people to having some agency over their mindset and actually doing that work, we're going to start to see these ripple effects happen of abundance.
Exactly. Yeah, and I think it's especially thinking about leaders in organizations, This is also affecting trust. So having an organization with high trust and being able to focus on results, it kind of requires that abundance mindset as well. Just the whole return to office debate that I think is happening a little more in the States than it is in Europe at the moment. But there is the idea that, you know, collaboration or productivity is less when people would be working more remote or from home. Mm-hmm. It's not proven. It's actually proven that it's not true. But it's the mindset that a lot of leaders have, and these are often like people in finance, where that, you know, that stage three scarcity mindset is dominant. So, and there is also a culture of fear, right? They would actually say, well, people that are not in the office, they miss out on promotions. And it's like literally, you know, it's a fear-driven culture. There is a scarcity mindset below it. And, you know, you kind of like, you look at it from, if you look at it from that abundance mindset perspective, you kind of like, it's ridiculous. It's just like, where does it come from? So to be able to work with organizations and to transform them in all those things that are essential for the survival of the company or the future success, because the context of the world is changing so much that if you keep that scarcity mindset dominant in your organization, you're missing out on a lot of everything that is needed to build a future-proof organization. So, and this might have been, I don't know if we get to a higher level or a more like higher level than this mindset shift. But I think it is a key. And if you say make the intangible tangible, I'm like, you know, people think maybe, okay, it's intangible, this difference between scarcity mindset and abundance mindset. But if you feel like pain in your stomach, then it's already tangible, right? If you know, pinpoint this, I don't feel well. I feel stuck. I feel like, you know, closed in. I feel they are like, there's no other way that, you know, I don't have a choice. If you feel like that, then it isn't intangible anymore. It's become tangible because you can pinpoint it out, and most people have the ability to even describe how they feel. I think it's a matter of courage to be able to start addressing it. And for people listening to this podcast, if you feel like you're not in an environment where you can use this kind of wording that we're using, you can still work on that without saying, okay, we need to move to collective abundance thinking. But you can still take the actual topic where you feel that people get stuck and just address it in certain ways, like I did in the apple tree example, for example. Or you can say, if we talk about that we cannot afford to hire this kind of talents, let's just do an exercise and think, instead of saying we can't do that, you can also reframe the question, say, okay, how would it be possible for us to do it? And if you only do that, most people would be open to say, okay, let's just reframe the question and put it out there in a different way and see what we can come up with. Then you're already like helping them a little bit to that shift, just taking them a little bit by the hand and making the first, you know, steps and open up a little bit. So if I think people that understand all these concepts and understand how they relate to each other and how they relate to the actual day-to-day decision-making in their company, they would also be able to reframe and work with the teams in a certain way that they can help, you know, both have the self-awareness, but also help other people becoming a little bit more aware.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel, Angelique, that you've given us so many practical steps to make this tangible. So I'm so grateful. But I think as well, what I've really enjoyed about this conversation is that we've hopefully made people aware of the scarcity mindset that does so naturally exist in most corporations, and that actually, you know, we can make that mental shift to a more abundant mindset. but you've given so many practical examples. I love it. And just some of these steps and these questions are things that I really hope some listeners will take forward and start to, yeah, have a little experiment with it themselves. But in terms of where they can find you and you know, gain some advice and support about abundance mindset, how can you tell us more about where to find you?
Yeah, I think the best way is to connect with me on LinkedIn. They can also find me on my Shopstack newsletter. Also, you can find the same newsletter on LinkedIn. I think that would be a very good start. So what I normally do, I offer consultancy services. So I work with leadership teams and HR directors to bring them to the future of work in the broader sense with all the developments that's going on. Between HR strategy and organizational development. So let's say I'm between the classical HR and the CEO, bridging that strategic gap. So I do consultancy and program management, but also I have two workshops. My signature workshops for this year is human-centric leadership, but also the abundant organization that I'm putting out there as a specific workshop for companies that are looking for an operational, for an inspirational session for their leadership teams or for the HR team.
Amazing. And have you got any final words of wisdom, Angelique, for our listeners who are wanting to delve into abundance but might be a little bit scared or skeptical?
Well, I think even if you're scared or skeptical, that is already a scarcity mindset. But it's not to blame people. I just want to say it is really, really hard. And even if you're aware of the concept, you know, probably 99% of the time we are stuck in abundance mindset. So I think every just the awareness is already like huge step. And just, you know, fine tune yourself and think about the things that are there in abundance and see what it brings you.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Angelique, for joining me on today's podcast.
Oh, you're welcome. It was my pleasure.
You've been listening to Make It Thrive, the company culture podcast with me, your host, Lizzie Benton. If you've enjoyed listening and want to keep up with all things culture, don't forget to subscribe. Thank you so much for listening, and I look forward to welcoming you back next week.